So good today to see each of you. The Sunday squeezed in between Christmas and New Year's, and you came. Wow. This morning, yes, what a privilege to have been married to Glenda for these 45 years. It only seems like yesterday. She hadn't seen her card yet. I wrote at the bottom of her card, I wish we had 45 more years together. Boy, it's good to see each one of you here, and it was good to have Pastor Tom's daughter and her husband back today, and Nick and Megan White. And I don't know if they're in the auditorium right now or not. If they are, jump up and say hello to everybody. And Nick was playing the guitar in the worship team. So I know the Matrones are a happy family to be together this weekend. And you, thank God for you. What a privilege to stand here in the same pulpit that Jim Bradford preaches in every week. Ah, man, I've arrived. Oh, it's a joy to serve on this staff. And Pastor Sherry, thank you for the gracious introduction. You're a blessing. Well, we've been in some concern, you know, the last 24, 48 hours about Israel and our pastor and the group going over and arriving today, trying to go into Tel Aviv. So I think we ought to pray, you know, and all of you have been praying, I'm sure, about it, but we'll pray together in a moment as well. But also a couple of other things. Floyd Gregory fell this week, went to the hospital overnight, just all scraped on his forehead and nose and face, and bless him. Lisa Siddle, you know, Perry Siddle passed away this summer with cancer at the age of about 50. His wife had to have a procedure and did surgery yesterday on her at the hospital, but apparently she's doing very well. Laparoscopic surgery. She may go home today after gallbladder removal, but that was on our hearts this week. And Gertrude Mulder, some of you know her, she passed away this week, and the funeral was Friday. But I think we ought to join in prayer together. Let's stand, and then we'll remain standing for the reading of God's Word. And let's just enter into prayer for these moments, please. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your faithfulness and constant care. We pray for Pastor Jim, Pastor Mike, and Pastor Jim's family, all of the group with George Wood and the arrival in Israel today. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the Spirit of God to work upon the hearts of leaders in Israel and surrounding countries, that there will come agreement together on things without bloodshed. We ask for the move of God in our day, that somehow, even as we agree together with people all over the world, that prayer can change things, and there can be the salvation of souls and peace in the hearts of people there in that region. We pray for those that are suffering in body today, those that have had surgery this week and hurts. May your healing power continue upon them and upon each one of us here in the congregation this morning. We pray for your blessing upon the family of Gertrude Mulder, Bill, and the others of the family, that they will be comforted and strengthened. Thank you for a life so lived that has left a great legacy and testimony. And now your anointing, your freedom, your liberty, and the move of your Spirit in this meeting, we pray as we continue. In Christ's name, amen. Remain standing then, please. And if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn, or I think Ray's putting it on the screen behind me, from 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and then a couple of verses from chapter 5. In 1 Peter 4, for those of you just getting familiar with your Bible, over near the end there, right ahead of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. 1 Peter 4, beginning at verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And then in the 5th chapter, verse 8, Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. God bless his word to you. You may be seated. As we close 2008, God's faithfulness has been proven over and over again as people have had intervention by God, really, in various ways. Before service, I was talking with Brother David Flower. He had surgery to remove a tumor at the base of the skull a few weeks back. Here he is this morning. Thank God for God's healing power within his body. Others of you that have been telling us the Lord met you in a certain way, physical needs, intervening in financial ways and bringing you through 2008. I look back here and I'm going to say a word that was on her Christmas card this week. She writes on her card, "I am glad 2008 is done. I broke this bone. I had to have surgery for that. I was depressed about all that. But the Lord has brought me through. I'm glad 2008 is over." Well, we don't have to live 2008 anymore. And God has intervened in various ways to be a blessing and a help, to make us stronger and to be able to do and be the persons that he wants us to be. About 50 names and addresses of adults who surrendered their lives to Christ this year in Central Assembly. Thank God for the overcoming power of the blood of Jesus over sin and freedom to serve Christ. That doesn't include all the children and teenagers who gave their hearts to the Lord during 2008. So we rejoice in the Lord for many, many things to be thankful for. This morning, as we reflect and also look ahead to 2009, I couldn't get away from this scripture because it just seemed to speak to me about the importance of keeping yourself under control and being clear-minded and alert, because you need to be able to pray effectively and you need to know you have an enemy, the devil, who prowls around and would like to devour. So that seemed to get my attention at the end of this year, that would be what I should speak about this morning: clear-minded and self-controlled. Other translations say words like this: being sober, having self-restraint, moderation, being sane, being wide awake. So the bottom line is, so that you can pray. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. Be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. So we want to walk through some aspects of this morning. I couldn't have a better example, I felt, than Simon Peter, who wrote these words under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, because it was to Simon Peter that Jesus walks with James and John into the Garden of Gethsemane the night before Jesus was to be on trial and to be crucified. And Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, lest you fall into temptation." Well, we know how things went. Instead of watching and praying, Simon Peter falls asleep with James and John, and Jesus, in the agony of facing death, sweating drops of blood, goes through that experience in the Garden of Gethsemane, where our pastor and those of the group will go this week. We've been there, some of us, in that very place. And Simon Peter did not do what Jesus asked of him. And in falling asleep and not praying, when the arrest of Jesus begins to happen, Peter jumps up, draws his sword, injures a man, and in the hours ahead denies that he even knows Christ. Why that failure? Because he didn't watch and pray like Jesus asked of him. Prayer is so important. That conversation, that conversing with our Heavenly Father, that relationship with Jesus in a very personal relationship. So be self-controlled and clear-minded so that you can pray. There are examples all around us of the need to stay under control. In family life, I know of a family at this time outside of Springfield that has over the last year or two, and a process perhaps of longer than that, gone through great difficulty of controlling themselves with each other when flare-ups and disagreements became more of a struggle and losing control and the damage that it did, and now husband and wife are separated this morning. Self-control is very important. Being clear-minded is very important as it relates to prayer. Examples all around us of the importance of staying under control. The plane that went off the runway in Chicago a couple of days ago, out of control. Thankfully, no one was hurt. Other accidents of automobiles, planes, trains that we hear of, that things just got out of control. I know in an automobile that I was riding in when it went out of control, what a frightening experience and a destructive experience it was. Our first year at Evangel in the fall of 1961, we were going back towards North Carolina, my home state. So we're in Alabama by 11 or so at night, and I was resting in the back seat for a while to get ready to drive later. You know how college students like to try to drive all night. Not too smart, however, especially on that night. Well, Frank from Virginia was riding with me that far to North Carolina, and he's helping me drive at that time. The roads are wet. It's raining in northern Alabama. I think we were trying to go across 278 north of Birmingham and in some little town, dark as night, outside of town there a couple of miles. Here, the right rear wheel slips off the edge of the pavement. Frank overcorrects. The car begins to spin and hits the ditch on the opposite side of the road, throwing Dolores out of the front seat into the ditch, and Frank was thrown out on the highway. I'm in the back seat, and I look up, and I can see the headlight burning, and I can hear the wheels spinning with nobody behind the steering wheel. Boy, at a time like that, you are just frozen in fear. But for some reason, I reach over the seat, grab the steering wheel, turn the car into the embankment, and the car stops. I get out. Dolores gets up off her knees in the ditch. She's okay. Frank walks from the road back to the car. His pants are torn. His shirt's all torn up. He's okay. We have the police to come. We're able to go into town, stay upstairs in some building that night in some rooms, and my car is totaled. The next day, my dad, who was the insurance agent for my car, was very kind in the way he talked to us. And he called the Plymouth dealer in town, and I was able to drive a new little Valiant on home. That's when it's nice your dad is the insurance agent. But to go out of control on the highway is a frightening experience. For you to be out of control, for me to be out of control anytime, is a damaging experience. So God wants us to have self-control and be clear-minded so our prayers are not hindered. The danger signs should be obvious to us. When we realize that we're getting overheated in the conversation, instead of pursuing and proving we're right anyway, we know we're right, we think we're right, instead of that, realize the danger sign and stop and realize the importance to pray at that point. Wouldn't it be great if any time we were having a little argument that becomes a little more heated and then we really got to be defensive. I know I'm right and this is the way it should be. If all of a sudden we stopped and we started saying, oh God, please come right now and help me in this moment. And everybody else in the family's eyes open wide. But that would be better than getting out of control. Whatever it takes for the Lord to move in and help us not to lose self-control. See the danger signs maybe by the things we're taking into our minds and not being clear-minded enough to pray as we ought. It could be the crude talk that we may hear over television or wherever. It could be things that are happening through television or entertainment of any type that is not good for you and causes your mind to become clouded and would be in disagreement with this scripture and therefore would affect your prayer life and cause you to not be as effective as God wants you to be in prayer. God wants to answer prayer. If God wills it and we pray it, we believe it's going to happen. God wants it to happen. He depends upon us to be able to pray effectively. God wants to answer us in time of need for people around us, for ourselves, for whatever the situation. Be self-controlled and clear-minded so that you can pray. Boy, if the end of all things was near almost 2,000 years ago, how much more so today as the coming of the Lord draws near. So as we see what we should be doing in controlling ourselves and in clear-mindedness, not overindulging, not finding that we become dull of mind, but rather being able to have a prayer life that's powerful and effective, this scripture will be fulfilled. We will see our lives able to be hospitable, loving, caring, with God's grace, serving God, and God will be praised. God will be praised in all things through Jesus Christ. The end of those verses in chapter 4. So be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Secondly, we have the Holy Spirit's help in being self-controlled. Remember in Galatians 5 where those verses speak about the works of the flesh are such and such, and then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and what? Self-control. So one of the activities of the Holy Spirit in your life and mine, one of the aspects of the fruit that he's producing is self-control. So we have a helper in this matter. We have the Holy Spirit helping us to stay under control. Let's cooperate with him. Let's just make it so that it's an environment in which the Holy Spirit is comfortable to work his powerful ways in our lives and through us. Jude verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that, of course, praying in the Holy Spirit, guidance, direction, yes, but also praying in the Spirit is one way that 1 Corinthians 14 and Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, and here in the Galatians 5, pray in the Spirit means that praying in tongues, praying in the unknown tongue, is one way that prayer is effective. And so the Holy Spirit helps us stay under control. And one way is that we pray in the Spirit. We're able to have that relationship with the Lord where not that we can just automatically pray in tongues whenever we want to, but I believe when you want to and you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and the Lord knows the desire of your heart, it becomes easier and easier for you to have the unknown tongue of prayer to begin to come into your voice, and you begin to pray in the Spirit. Things that the Holy Spirit knows are the mind of the Father, and your prayers are effective by praying in the Spirit. Self-control is an activity of the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, there are not many things that the Bible really says, like in so many words, would hinder our prayers. But one of them is in Psalm 66, verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Now, you know, the Lord hears everything, but it really means, doesn't it, that if I am holding on to rebellion against God in some way and I'm determined it's going to be my way or no way, and that's not God's way in that particular situation, if I regard that rebellion towards God and I want to hold on to it, the Lord will not listen to my prayers. Another place is here in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, that's very clear and specifically says what could hinder our prayers. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. That verse became very important to me years ago, and I took it to mean what it says, that if I treated my wife really well, my prayers would not be hindered. Now, I know there's some verses there that apply to the wife also, how she honors her husband and so on, but this is just between us guys right now for a moment. Husbands, in the same way as he's been talking about Sarah being submissive to Abraham and honoring her husband, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, weaker in the way of emotionally sometimes reacting to things, weaker in the way she needs the security and strength of the husband. As the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, be considerate, respect her as she is, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Is that good or what? And all the wives said, oh boy, that's refreshing, isn't it? So that your prayers will not be hindered. Guys, we want our prayers over our families to not be hindered. The covering, the spiritual covering over our children, our grandchildren, that we ask the Lord to bless them with peace and understanding and wisdom about life and keep them from falling into sin. Oh God, let wisdom come about the job and the needs there. Lord, let your glory be with us in our church, in our lives. The kingdom of God come in power. Our prayers not being hindered. God answers prayer. We are men who can pray unhindered prayers because we love our wives and are considerate of them and treat them so well. Isn't that great? I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen in 2009 because we guys are the way we are. I mean, we are such fine men who treat our wives so well. Our prayers are probably going to be answered in greater ways than because we are obedient to the Word of God, and we believe this, and we honor God's Word. Man, this is almost time to just stop and hug our wives or something. I don't know. It just feels good, doesn't it? So there are these specific ways that it says our prayers could be hindered. So be self-controlled and clear-minded so that you can pray. And then in 1 Peter 5, those two verses for the last section of the message this morning. Be self-controlled and alert. And we could almost insert the word because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the devil is compared to a lion, and the devil is called your enemy and my enemy. A lion is one that gets violent. The devil likes violence. The devil likes violence. He likes to be controlling. He likes to take over. The devil, like a lion, is cunning. The devil, like a lion, attacks without warning, attacks you. The devil, like a lion, murders and wants to steal and kill. That's the devil. Something about sin and the devil is always on a downward spiral. The devil being cast out of heaven to the air around the earth. From the air to the earth. Later to be cast into the bottomless pit. And eventually into the lake of fire forever. And no more devil to be like a lion wanting to devour you. Well, this is written here for us so that we will be self-controlled and alert, it says. Because the devil is this way. A little girl, after being saved, was asked, what will you do if the devil comes knocking on the door of your heart? She said, I'll ask Jesus to answer the door. Jesus can handle the devil, amen? There's something in the note on this, in the Full Life Study Bible, on this page, as a note from this verse. Only believers have been delivered from the devil's power. Yet, as a roaring lion, he remains a threat to believers. He seeks to destroy them, especially through experiences of suffering. The devil will spiritually destroy anyone who abandons God's protection. Through our faith in Christ's blood, our spiritual warfare by the Holy Spirit, and our prayers to God, we are fully equipped to defeat Satan's schemes, to resist him, and to stand firm in the faith. The one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world, speaking of the devil. Amen? So, another example from the life of Simon Peter, who wrote these words about needing to resist the devil. Jesus says to Simon Peter in Luke 22, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat." Now, I wished I could have found a sifter like was used in the olden days to sift the wheat until it shakes the husk off of it, shakes the very life out of it, as it were. And that is what Jesus uses as a comparison to how the devil would like to do you. And he says, "Simon, Satan wants to sift you as wheat or shake the life out of you. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Powerful, isn't it? That Jesus would pray for Simon Peter, and Peter's faith did not fail, even though he wept bitter tears of repentance and was so disappointed in how he failed Christ. He was restored, and Jesus said, "When you are restored, strengthen your brethren." But Simon Peter learned that lesson, that you have an enemy who would like to shake the life out of you through experiences of suffering and other ways that he'll try to set up schemes that would trip you up and cause you to lose control and cause you to lose your clear-minded life in Christ. And Jesus said, "I'm praying for you, Simon Peter," and I remembered the words of the Scriptures. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Isn't it great you have somebody praying for you in heaven right now? Now, there could be many people praying for us in heaven, for all we know, because the Bible shows that John the Revelator saw under the altar of the throne of God the prayers of the saints. And we don't know if that means just the prayers that were prayed here on earth or the saints are still praying there in heaven. But we do know Jesus is praying for us this morning. Why? Because he wants there to be a victorious walk in your life of self-control and clear-mindedness and praying and being alert and being able to resist the devil. Isn't Jesus great? So he's interceding this morning and praying even at this very moment for you and me. That's very reassuring. That's very strengthening. Ephesians 6 is also a place in the Scriptures where it especially equips you for resisting the devil. In these verses of Ephesians 6, it's like in verse 10, it says, "Be strong in the Lord." Now, there are many things to gain knowledge on and be wise about and gain understanding, but above everything else, it's almost like saying, have your main strength in the Lord. You know, you can be wise in a lot of ways and a lot of things and learn from people and do things great, but be strong in the Lord, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. There's the way to resist the devil, isn't it? Verse 11, put on the full armor of God. Verse 12, your struggle is not with flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. So behind any struggle that you feel you're having with someone that's aggravated at you or somebody that's undermining you or some situation that's damaging your finances, your business, and so on and so forth, all of that behind it against the believer would be an unseen force that it says there in Ephesians 6:12, your struggle is not against people, but against those kinds of activities behind the scene. So verse 13 says, stand your ground. Verse 14 to 17 describes the armor, the helmet of salvation. Above everything be covered by having your sins forgiven. You're saved. You're ready to leave this world at any moment and go into the presence of Christ, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. They'll be filled. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Stay familiar with the Word. Be able to use it in resisting the devil. The shield of faith. Having the belt of truth on. Now, that may mean truth as in God's truth, and Jesus is the way, truth, and the life. But it also may mean don't have any lying and deception in your life. Keep the belt of truth on. No falsehood. Anything that would give the enemy a foothold or a crack in the door. Get rid of that falsehood. Get rid of that deception. Don't live a lie. Be able to take anything to God in prayer and anything to your spouse in commitment. If there's anything that you have in your life at this time that you would be ashamed to tell your spouse about, you know what it may take? It just may take being humbled enough and humiliated enough for you to just say to them personally, "Boy, I'm sorry, honey. That was not right for me to think that way or do that or say that. Forgive me." And I'll tell you, when that kind of humiliation and humility breaks the power of that thing in your life, you are free. You are free. The Son of God gives you freedom. The Spirit of the Lord brings self-control in your life. The Holy Spirit, that's His activity with you. Believe it, hold on to it, and fight the devil off with it, because if God's Word says it, we can believe it, and it's going to happen. Amen? The truth, living in truth and honesty and openness and integrity. Oh, thank God for the victory against our enemy, the devil. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, overcoming the devil. So verse 18 in Ephesians 6, I already mentioned it earlier, is the one that says, above all things, pray in the Spirit on all occasions. And so there are some of the strongest principles for you to resist the devil. When you realize that something's going on that's disturbing and breaking peace, and he's the author of confusion, recognize who's behind it and just resist it with something from the Word that the Lord will bring back to you in your mind. And somehow, if you can pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues as the Holy Spirit gives you that assurance to begin to pray in tongues, you will find that there is a strength that comes in you to resist temptation, resist losing control, resist hating somebody, resist trying to get revenge and retaliating. You can resist the devil in the activity of the Holy Spirit in your prayer life. Be self-controlled and clear-minded so that you can pray. Be self-controlled and alert so that you can resist the devil. So that's about it. What are we going to do with this? Well, as we close this morning, why don't we just realize if the Word of God has touched on something that we needed a change in our life, let's just go ahead and come to God with it. If there's something that the Word of God is touching on today that you realize will free you up for the days ahead to be stronger and to live a victorious life for Christ, let's just try to apply it right now, and let's begin to enter into prayer in a moment, and we'll worship together at the end of the service. But why don't we stand together, and as we consider what we've heard today, let's call on the Lord. Let's ask the Lord right now. And there may be somebody right now that's really going through a big decision here of how they're going to handle something. Father, we just ask you for peace to pervade the atmosphere in this sanctuary right now through the Prince of Peace coming against the devil, the enemy of every believer here. The devil, the enemy of and the master of anyone here who's not a believer. And we just ask you, Lord, for the overcoming victorious power of the blood of Christ to take effect here in this service right now. And that anyone who's been struggling and has not yet given their life to Christ, is not committed to and living for Christ, that they would be set free as they reach out to you, Lord, right now, with heads bowed and eyes closed. If somehow God is speaking to you today about surrendering your life to Him, and you believe this is the moment that you could make that commitment to Him and turn away from what has been mastering you and overcoming you, and you would say, "I want Jesus more than anything this morning. I want Jesus to take charge in my life, and I surrender my life to Him." Could I see you slip up your hand and hold it there a moment? We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray with you. We're going to believe with you. And victory and strength. I'm looking and waiting just a moment. If this is for you, raise your hand and say yes. God bless you, sir. You may take your hand down. Are there others? I'm looking for another moment. Oh, the power of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss, the blood washed to know. Oh, the joy akin to heaven, where God's healing, cleansing waters flow. For you right now who lifted your hand, and even for others of us who may realize that struggle that's been going on in losing control and in allowing things that shouldn't be there, there's victory for you through Jesus Christ. We pray right now, Father, let that continue as we worship you right now. We ask that victory. Pastor Tom, please.